Now let's take our Bible tonight and go to the book of Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6 tonight. And I was reminded of what one of my pastors said that I was, when I was growing up. I look across the house tonight, I would say probably everybody in here is saved. But he made a statement one time. He said he was preaching to a bunch of preachers and preachers' wives, and he said, "I preached on the plan of salvation." And the Lord knows what's needed tonight. And he knows who's sitting in the house tonight. And so Job chapter 6, Job is just starting his complaint. He has started his complaint in chapter 3. And then Eliphaz answers his complaint, I believe, there in chapter 4 and in chapter 5 also. But then in chapter 6, Job begins to answer him. And if you remember, those men coming to make an appointment and that to comfort Job, but they... Bible said, Job did, he said, "Miserable comforters are ye." And they were very miserable comforters. But I want to begin to read in verse 1 of Job chapter 6. I'll ask you to stand tonight. We'll reverence the reading of God's word. And so the Bible says in verse 1, "But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, and therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." You can be seated tonight. Lord, we want to thank you again for this, the opportunity to be here tonight. I know we've got folk traveling and on vacation, and I pray you would watch over them. But Lord, tonight we've got folk here, and they're the ones that I need to preach to. And Lord, I ask tonight that this message would go out and ring in ears tonight and ring in hearts. And we just ask tonight, Lord, that this message would go out and accomplish what it needs to. And Lord, that you'd touch us and help us while we might preach tonight. Lord, we are very thankful to live in a country tonight where we're free. And thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ. Help us now while we might preach, save that sinner's nearest tale. For this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As Job was making his complaint and that about the situation that he was in, and you know, it wasn't just a few weeks ago I preached on that, about he lost his 10 children, he lost all his finances, his wife had turned on him, his friends had come in. And he is making his complaint, and he said right here, he said that all this is heavier. If it was weighed, it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. I would say that Job was under great distress. And if you read the book of Job, and by the way, I just wanted and asked God to let his hand go on him, and he said that he would let loose his hand in verse 9 and cut me off. Job really wanted to leave this life. I mean, he was in a place where he was ready to die, wanted to die, And you can read on through here and you can see that in his life. Job pitied the day and cursed the day that he was born. As a matter of fact, he said it one time on about the day that he was born. He wished that he hadn't been born. But if you read the book of Job, you'll find that he asked a lot of questions. Job asked a lot of questions all through the book of Job. And as a matter of fact, in these verses here, he asked some questions himself. He said, "Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder?" He said, "Is he going to complain when he has what he needs and what he has to eat?" And Job says, "I'm making my complaint because of the situation that I'm in." But then in verse 6, he said, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt?" You can eat it, but it don't taste good, does it? That's kind of a plain question tonight, ain't it? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? And then he asked this question here. He said, "Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" And most of us have ate the white of an egg over the years, that really there is no taste in the white of an egg. And that's why you need that salt and that pepper to put on that white of an egg. And so tonight, if I could use that to think about for just a little bit, is the white of an egg has nothing to it. There's really nothing, anything to a white of an egg. And so tonight, there's a lot of people that have what I'd call egg white salvation. And there's just not much to what they have. There's just nothing to it tonight. Now you pray for me tonight, and I'll preach this as quick as I can, and we'll go over here and eat. But I want us to get this tonight. Tonight, there's a lot of folks sitting on a church bench somewhere that have egg white salvation. So what is real, true, biblical salvation? Can I say tonight that true biblical salvation is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's in the death or burial and the resurrection of the risen Savior that went to Calvary. You all have heard me say this a million times over the years, that if a man, woman, boy, or girl will come realizing they're a sinner, then they can get saved if they'll believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is true biblical salvation? True biblical salvation is a time when God spoke to your heart. Do you remember in the book of the Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20, he's talking to the church at Laodicea, but he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and will open the door," he said, "I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." You remember where you were that morning or that night or in that daytime when God spoke to your heart. You remember where you was that time when he showed you that you were lost and undone without him and didn't have him? You remember that time? I remember that time. I go back and I think about that sometimes. Boy, what a great day, what a great night that was, that God spoke to my heart. As I studied this, I thought about Zacchaeus. As Zacchaeus was up that tree, you remember as Jesus come by, he had crawled up that tree and was looking out on Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus looked up to that tree and said, "Zacchaeus." Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was. He got to where he was and stopped and called him by name. Boy, I'm glad that night that Jesus got to where I was and called me by name. Boy, I'm telling you, you can't get saved. I really don't believe you can get saved until God comes by and knocks on your heart. He said, "No man could come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Now, friend, I'll be honest with you tonight. I don't think it has to take a long time for God to draw somebody. I don't think it has to take all meeting long. You don't have to have days to do this. I think about the Philippian jailer. I think about him. I don't know how long he'd been under conviction, but I don't think it had been too long. And boy, when he realized, I mean, he drew his sword out and was going to kill himself. And Paul hollered out, I said, do thyself no harm while here. And he busted in with a lie and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Somewhere that old boy got under conviction about his sin. And God began to deal with his heart. Well, you remember when God dealt with you about your lost condition in your heart tonight? Boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad that he called on me to get saved. But then I had to come to him. See, I had to leave where I was and come to him. You know, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Listen, just because Christ called me didn't mean that I was going to get saved. But I had to make the move. You see, I had to make the move I had to go to him to where he was and that he would save me. Why do you think in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, come unto me. He said, come unto me. He said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thank you, Lord. And listen tonight, I'm glad that I moved when he called on my heart. I'm glad that I moved. I was reading this past week, talking about the calling of, was it Philip and Andrew, them boys over there? And one of them over there said, is there any good thing? You know, he went to his brother and said, Nathaniel said that, or we have found the Messiah, the one, you know, that the prophets have spoke of, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And his brother said, is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? You know what he said? He said, come and see. Boy, I'm glad I went and saw one night. Amen. And I'm glad that Jesus knocked on my heart and I got to where he was. Thank God for that. But then, in egg white salvation, or in true salvation, excuse me, in true salvation, not only did he call me, and not only did I have to go to him and come to him, but then there had to be some repentance that took place. And a lot of people's got a lot of ideas about repentance, and I guess I've got a lot of ideas about repentance too. But I'm going to tell you, repent means to stop what you're doing and turn and go the other way. I mean, really, that's what it means. And a lot of people want to work in and they want to make repentance a work that we have to do and that to be saved. I'm going to tell you tonight, when you get broken over your sin, you'll want to come to him and you'll want to repent. You'll want to be different than what you were before because he's the one that does it. I believe Brother Bob here a few months ago, he spoke about this scripture here. He said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, Paul was, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we show repentance in him and toward him. He said in 2 Corinthians 7, Paul did, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. I was sorry for the situation I was in. I wanted to get saved that night. I'd really got convinced about that thing. In just a short amount of time, I'd got convinced that I was lost and needed to get saved. And I remember coming to him brokenhearted. You know, the Bible said that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. You remember where you were? I really like to think about that and how that salvation makes a change in a man, woman, boy, or girl. You know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He changes your way of thinking. He changes your actions. He changes your family, your friendships. He changes all that tonight. I know this is very simple tonight. And I know that most of us, if not all of us, have this and got this down pat, hopefully. But when we got saved, it should have made a change in us. Christ changes the inside. And because of the inside being changed, it floods out to the outside. I look back and think about it as a 14-year-old boy as I got saved and I could see the path that I was headed down. And I can look back and see it. And boy, even though I was raised in church and mom and daddy had me in church and kept us in church, and but I was headed in the wrong direction. Now, I was a freshman in high school, and things was different than it was in grammar school, and you with all kinds of people at this point. I'm just telling you that I remember that some of my friends, if not all of them, changed when I got saved. He made a change. I'm going to tell you what, my heart changed toward church. I'll guarantee you that. It really did. It really changed towards church when I got saved. And y'all know this. I've told you this too over the years. I'm telling you, I fell in love with church. I fell in love with the preacher. I just fell in love with all of it. It made a change. But when a man, woman, boy, or girl comes and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was it that he said? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, what we believe unto righteousness. I mean, that's what we do. We believe. And so when I come and got saved, when I place my faith and my hope in him and ask him to save me, and that's, I tell you, I'm glad that that's one thing I did. And it's only in Christ tonight. It's not in my work. It's not in your work. But it's only in Christ. There is substance to the salvation that I have. There's substance. There's something to salvation. I'll never forget why. And I've told y'all this too. You were here when Brother Ted made the statement. When did we remodel the church? In 2014. So in 2015, Brother Ted come and preached our dedication service the first of that year. The end of 2014, first of 2015, Brother Ted come and preached. And I was listening to that message some time back. And he was talking about a boy that he used to drink with. When, you know, Brother Ted got saved when he was 30 years old. And he said that old boy come by his house and said they got in the car and took off. And that old boy asked him, said, well, what happened to you? And he was just as honest as the day was on. He said, I really don't know what happened to me. But he said, I know it's real. And I'm glad tonight that the salvation that resides in my heart, sometimes it's hard to explain what happens to you when you get saved. Well, I'm glad tonight that it's real. I'm glad that it makes a difference. I'm glad that it changes things. I'm glad that it's just not something that we put on and take off. But friend, hey, will somebody come and set up residence on the inside of my heart and make my life different? I'm glad of that tonight. The Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I've got life tonight in him. He made a difference because it was real. It was real. And you know, I'm not one to want to talk you out of your salvation, but I want you to know that you're saved. You know, Paul said there at one point in the book of Corinthians, he said to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. But I'm afraid these folks sitting in church tonight, well, some of them ain't there tonight. They ought to be in church, but they're not. But he said, is there any taste in the white of an egg? And some people's got an egg white salvation in the fact that they just wanted something that would ease their conscience. Now I'm glad that it eased my conscience the night that I got saved. Now it did. I'm not going to argue that point at all. But for some people, that's all they're looking for. They're sorry they got caught at whatever they got caught at. And they just want to ease their conscience about the situation that they're living in. And in the life that they're living. You know, Isaiah 4 put it like this. He said, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we'll eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. He said, all we want is your name. We'll eat our bread, wear our own apparel. We'll do what we want to, but let us be called Christian. That's what a lot of people want today. They want to be called Christian, or they want to be called a member of a church, and they have to make themselves feel better about the situation that they're in, about the reproach. Notice what he said right here. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. There's a lot of people that are trying to ease their conscience about the sin that they're living in. They're trying to ease their conscience about the situation that they're in or to the place that they're headed. You know, there's a lot of people who want to ease their conscience tonight about eternity that they're facing. Boy, I want to tell you, if you want to ease your conscience and ease your heart about eternity, get saved tonight. That'll fix that. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, after I heard that, Catholic priest give his testimony about how that God saved him. You know, he'd been in the, I forget how long he'd been in the priesthood and those things. And he talked about all that, how that after he got in that car wreck, and man, he got to wondering about eternity. And everything that the church had given him couldn't help him about eternity. And I told you all this on a Wednesday night, and I listened to his testimony. And he said that he had read the book of John. He said he read the book of John over and over. And how that he read the book, was it Little John? I think he might have read Little John or the book of Romans. I can't remember what it was then. But he said, but then he got over there to Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 and read that 20 times a day. He said, I read that for 20 times a day. And by the way, you know what Ephesians 1 and 2 talks about? It talks about what the Lord Jesus done. It talks about trusting Him, the word of truth, which will save you. And then Ephesians chapter 2 tells us what Christ done for us. You know how it's not by works, you know. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what some people have in salvation tonight. They not only have a ease your conscience salvation, but they got a work salvation. You know, I told you this morning as we were preaching on freedom. You know, there's a lot of folks sitting on church bench tonight that bless their heart, they're saved. Some of them are saved, but man, they have got it in their mind that they've just got to live as perfect as they can to hold on to their salvation. I'm not holding on to my salvation tonight. If I could hold on to it, then I could lose it. But He's holding on to me tonight. And I know that's just, as we say, that there's a lot of cliches and things that we say as preachers, but there's nothing been ever so true but that statement. He's holding on to me. He said that I'm in His hand, and no man can pluck me out of His hand. He said, I'm in the Father's hand. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I can't get out of that thing if I tried. I couldn't jump out, run away. Nobody can pry me out. But there's a lot of people got a work salvation tonight. They cannot understand. They cannot understand the grace of God. And I'll be honest with you tonight, I struggle with the grace of God. And what I mean by that is in understanding the grace of God, but I believe the grace of God tonight. I don't understand. I don't know why Christ would come and die for me. I don't know why Christ would call me out. I don't know why Christ would allow me to come and get saved. But I believe that He did. Amen. And I'm trusting that tonight. And there's a lot of folk got an egg white salvation to ease their conscience or to work getting in to heaven. I had my wife sing me this song today. I'd forgot about how it goes, and so I took it in there to her. She was trying to rest on the couch, and I wouldn't let her rest. And I said, sing me this song right here. It's page 262 in the Blueback book. And it's Surely I Will, Lord. You know that thing starts out and says, if working and praying has any reward. There's probably working. There probably is reward to working and praying because we understand the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm going to tell you, working and praying ain't going to get you in. You know, surely I will work. You know, all that song talks about is the work that somebody does. And I'm going to get off track. I'm going to chase this rabbit for just a second. If it ain't singing about the Lord Jesus Christ, we probably ought not to sing it. Amen. But listen tonight, it's not a work salvation. It's not in what we can do for Him. It's in what He's done for us. Some people have a giving salvation. What do you mean? They give their time or their tithes or their talents to the Lord or to the work of religion. We could call this egg white religion too, by the way. But the thing about it is, and by the way, works will be evident after you get saved. But there are some people that just, they want to give or they want to do, but they don't want to do exactly what the Bible has said to do. You can put all the money in the world in the tithe plate and it ain't going to get you to heaven tonight. I think you ought to tithe. I think you ought to give to missions tonight. But I'm telling you, it ain't going to get you. If you're doing it to get into heaven, friend, you ain't going to get there tonight. If you're doing it because you think that God's going to weigh us out when we get to glory and we can stand there and brag about what we've given, or we can argue with Him about, hey, I've given this and done this and done that in the name of Christ. Matthew chapter 7 put it this way. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. You know what the will of the Father is? John 6 and 40, he tells us the will of the Father is to believe on the Son. That's the will of the Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Two things about that verse. One of the greatest verses for eternal security right here. Because he said, I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you once and I don't know you now. He didn't say, I knew you once upon a time, but I forgot you. He said, I never knew you. I'm going to tell you, if you could be lost, saved today and lost tomorrow, then he would have to lie at these things. But when somebody is going to make their excuses, or make, they're not their excuses, but they're going to promote their self and their works of why they should get into heaven, if I could say that. You know, in Revelation chapter 20, when we talk about the great white throne judgment, he's going to bring the books out. You know, as a congregation, we sang that old song, this morning, page 346, I know my name is there. You know, when I got saved, I really believe this tonight. And we can talk about this later, but I really believe the heaven's penman wrote my name down. And I believe there is a book of life, the Lamb's book of life in heaven tonight. And I believe my name has been penned down in heaven. But you know, the Bible said, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He's not asking for our works. He's not asking for anything else. He's asking, have you been saved? That's what he's asking. Egg white salvation is a work salvation. It is a giving salvation in the very fact as we try to give and giving. And by the way, religion will work you to death. Religion will make you endure itself. But salvation is enjoyable. Now I got my battles and I got my fights. And I've got my bad days. Don't you misunderstand that. We've got battles and fights that we go through. But I can pillow my head at night and not worry about eternity. I don't have to worry about that. Egg white salvation is not all that filling, is it? Y'all just ever ate egg whites? One, you got to throw the salt and pepper to it, and that kind of defeats the purpose of eating egg whites. Especially if you put salt with it. But there just ain't nothing to it. You know, that's what these ladies make that meringue that goes on top of that banana pudding. That's what they make it out of. And don't misunderstand me. If you make it that way, that's fine. But I generally rake it off out of the way and just eat the banana pudding. Seems like a waste to eat that meringue. It really does. Believe it or not, over the years I have learned to like it. But just not to hurt people's feelings, you know. But it seems like a waste. Why? There's nothing to it. You know, the Bible said in John chapter 4, the Lord did, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He not only gave us the water to drink, but he gave us the well to go with it. He gave us the ability to keep drawing and that out of the well of salvation. Not that we're saved over and over and over again, but for the very fact that the well's never going to run dry. Jesus said unto them in John 6, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You remember in John 4 when he was over there with the woman, the well in Samaria there, I believe it was. And she said, Lord, ever give me this water that I wouldn't thirst again. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something to take a glass of water and never thirst again? And that's all you need. But boy, when you come to Christ, you never have to worry about salvation again. I'm glad what I've got is lasting. It'll last while I'm here, and it'll last and get me over there. It's going to last. It's going to last. It's real tonight. Let me ask you, does your salvation got substance to it? You got substance and sustenance. I'm glad that what I have is not egg white salvation. That it's not, you know, that it's just a bunch of nothing that won't last. But I've got something that's going to make it through. And it's going to get me through. And I'm depending not on what I've done, but on what the Lord Jesus done. And boy, what a great day. Let me say this while I close tonight. I know it's been simple tonight, church. I know. I hope it's been simple. What a great day when we learn that. Some people still need to learn that. That it's simply by trusting and putting your faith in Him. He does the saving. He does the keeping. And we do the serving. Because we are saved tonight. Ain't He a good Lord tonight? Amen. Let's stand to our feet if we would and bow our heads tonight across the house.